Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The world is, to use a term from psychology, bipolar in its reaction to the times that we live in. It goes back and forth from extreme catastrophism and anxiety on the one hand, like the sky is falling, or we're all going to die of something, or climate change is going to get us, or an asteroid is going to get us, to extreme uniformitarianism and indifference on the other hand. Everything is the same as it's always been. There is no coming judgment. Everything's fine. You see people around you going back and forth between those extremes. Jesus will talk about the extreme anxiety that the world lives under in a few weeks' time in the Advent season. But St. Peter, in today's epistle, talks about the world's indifference, or really disbelief, about the coming of the end of the world and the day of Christ's judgment. Nothing has ever changed since the beginning of time, they think. Everything goes on as it always has. The sun rises every morning and sets every night. We go through the cycle of the seasons every year. Where is this coming, he promised? They laugh at Christians for believing we have a citizenship beyond this world, for holding on to the hope of things unseen, for scorning this life, and for preparing for a day no scientific instrument can predict or detect, the day of the Lord's coming. That day is coming. Peter describes it as a day of burning and destruction. But before the burning up of the elements takes place, something else even more ominous will happen. The Lord whom the world rejected, the Lord whom the world crucified, the Lord whose word the world has despised, the Lord whose people the world has been persecuting for some 2,000 years, will appear in the clouds and take his seat on his glorious throne, and everything else will come to a screeching halt as the time of judgment will finally have arrived. Jesus had spoken of that day earlier in Matthew's gospel, promising that at that time he will reward each one according to his works. That's exactly what we see unfolding in today's gospel from Matthew 25 in the parable of the sheep and the goats. The sheep are rewarded with immeasurable good for all the good that they have done to the brothers of Jesus. We'll talk about who those brothers are in a moment. The goats are rewarded with unending punishment for all the good works that they failed to do for Jesus' little brothers. The first question we have to answer is, who are the sheep and who are the goats? And was it the lack of good works that made the goats into goats? Or did they fail to show love to Jesus' brothers because they were goats? And on the other side, was it the good deeds that made the sheep into sheep? Or were they made into sheep in some other way that led them to do good works as a result? Everything hinges on those questions. In one sense, from God's perspective in eternity, the sheep were always sheep and the goats were always goats. Notice what the king says to the sheep on his right. Come, you who have been blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God knew in eternity who would end up at the right hand of the Son of Man on this judgment day. More than that, he chose them for this day. And this gets into the doctrine of election or predestination. Very simply, God knew beforehand, even before he created them, that Adam and Eve would fall into sin and plunge our race into sin and the curse of death. But in his mercy, he decreed in eternity that the whole human race should be redeemed and reconciled to him, and he also decreed how he would accomplish that. He decreed the sending, the suffering, and the dying of his Son on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has made atonement for the sins of all people of all times. God also decreed that he would save sinners and bring them into Christ in a certain way, that he would send out his word, his preaching, his gospel into the world, that his Spirit would work through that preaching to bring sinners to repentance and faith in Christ, that he would justify those who believed, that he would sanctify them in love and work in them and through them to produce many good works in this life. And he also decreed that he would continue to preserve and strengthen and help his chosen people, those believers in Christ, by sending his word to them, by hearing their prayers if they would pray and continue to use the gifts that he's provided and the strength that he provides. And those whom he saw coming to faith by his Spirit's work and persevering in the faith until the end, he chose to be standing at the right hand of Christ as sheep who would inherit eternal life. He knew them as sheep from eternity. The goats he knew also, not that he chose them to be goats, not that he wanted them to disbelieve the gospel or to live in sin or to end up on his left. He sent Christ to die for them too. As Jesus said in John chapter 3, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Or as Jesus says right here in our gospel, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." So, not prepared originally for you, but the goats are those who stubbornly resisted the Holy Spirit working in the means of grace. They didn't believe in the Lord Jesus to be saved, or if they believed for a time, they didn't continue to use the gifts God provided to keep them in the faith. And so they fell away and refused to be called back to repentance. And so they ended up among the goats, as God knew they would in eternity. But in another sense, from our perspective in time, all people start out as goats, as living under God's condemnation. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2, "We, like the rest, were dead in sins and trespasses, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, by nature, children of wrath. But then the law is preached, warning us of the coming judgment and of our impending doom because of our sins, causing us to grieve over them and to fear God's wrath. Then the gospel is preached, that God loved us and sent his Son into our flesh to live among us, to be righteous for us, to suffer and die for our sins, and to be raised to life for our justification. And when lost and condemned sinners hear that, some of them are converted and made into sheep. When the Lord comes, he will first raise all the dead, and then he will immediately separate the sheep from the goats, as we heard in the gospel. The sheep on his right, the goats on his left. There will be only two groups, sheep and goats, believers and unbelievers. The genuine members of Christ's holy church and the rest of humanity. As we learn earlier in Matthew's gospel, the sheep will be a relatively small group compared to the goats because Jesus said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now, of all the thoughts, words, and deeds that the king could bring out into the open on Judgment Day, in this parable, Jesus focuses on one very specific set of actions. The difference in how the sheep and the goats behave toward his brothers. Now, who are his brothers? In a sense, all men are Jesus' brothers as human beings, as he became for us. In a sense, those who are Israelites by blood are his brothers, as he was born an Israelite. In another sense, the other children of Mary and Joseph were his brothers. But in most of the New Testament, and certainly here in these verses, Jesus' brothers are those who have been made children of God, sons of God, by faith in him through holy baptism, who have been born again of water and the Spirit, adopted into God's family, and made members of his body, the Holy Christian Church. He's exposing the works of the sheep and of the goats toward his precious Christians. He praises the sheep for the acts of kindness and love they showed to his brothers, that is, to one another, giving help and comfort to one another, providing for the needs of their fellow Christians in hunger, in sickness, in prison, in need of clothing, in need of shelter. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, Jesus had said this: "Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Here in these verses, he reveals something even more astonishing. "Whatever you did for one of the least of these my brothers, you did for me." On the other hand, Jesus accuses the goats for the acts of kindness and love they failed to show to his dear people. He could have brought up all the evil deeds unbelievers have done in the world. There's plenty of wickedness to expose. But here he shows that even the lack of help and comfort given to Christians is sufficient grounds for the unbelieving to be eternally condemned. And if they're condemned for not helping, how great will their condemnation be for all the hurting they've done? So today's gospel is a stern warning to unbelievers and to the impenitent. Judgment is coming, and if they wish to escape the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, they had better listen to his calls to repent and to flee for refuge to the arms of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, who will gladly receive them even now and make them into sheep by forgiving them their sins. It's also a great comfort to believers that God shows that he knows who are his, that he is pleased with their good works, and that he is not blind to the unbeliever's hatred and mistreatment of his people. He will not allow it to go on forever, nor will he let it go unpunished. But there is also a warning to believers here, not to grow complacent about loving one another. Jesus shows us how important it is to him to fail to give help and comfort to Jesus' little brothers is to fail to give it to him. To speak meanly to his little brothers is to speak meanly to him. To hurt any of his little brothers is to hurt him. And to fail to repent of those sins is to leave the sheepfold and rejoin the goats. But with repentance, there is forgiveness. And with forgiveness comes the inspiration to love as you have been loved by God, to be all the more zealous in serving one another in love, because with every deed of kindness shown to our fellow believers, we are serving Christ Himself. And the reward He promises to His sheep is His own word of praise at the end, if not before, and a glorious eternal kingdom if we remain faithful until the end. So, what sort of people ought you to be? St. Peter asked his readers in today's epistle that question, knowing that Judgment Day is coming, knowing that all this, all you see here, will be burned up very soon and taken away. We end with the words of Peter's encouragement in his epistle. You ought to practice holy living and godliness, awaiting and yearning for the coming of the day of God, when the heavens will be destroyed with fire and the elements will burn up and melt. But we, according to His promise, await new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you await these things, make every effort to be found spotless and blameless before Him in peace. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.